Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Combination of two legends, the late great Michael Jackson with Beat It, the iconic song, The Lakers Beat the Heat. And by the way, on the guitar for that song, the late great Eddie Van Halen, who died yesterday of cancer at the age of 65. Two amazing legends coming together for one legendary song, the dulcet tones of Michael Jackson and then Eddie Van Halen. Not a lot of people knew he was on the instrumentals there on the guitar, but it came to light yesterday when his amazing career was put into light. Eddie Van Halen dying at the age of 65. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Best to his family. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. It's a beautiful day here in Lower Manhattan. Thanks for being with us. So the Lakers mojo apparently is back. And Jay is back. Great to have you here this morning. Saw you on TV last night.
Glad you could make it.
Glad you could join your own show.
Thank you.
That's really great.
Last night was a late one.
1 minute in, he's already killed me.
He never stops killing me. That's the best part about Key. Even the text last night during the game while he was going through his emotional roller coaster really provided great entertainment.
Well, yeah. Keep those texts to yourself.
Yes, I shall.
Yes, PG. PG-13. Well, we can't ask for that. What are your big thoughts? What's your big takeaway after watching last night?
The Lakers won game four in the mud. If that was Anthony Davis guarding Jimmy Butler at the beginning of the game, if that was LeBron James refusing to switch off Jimmy Butler at the end of the game, and it comes down to the Lakers made more plays down the stretch. Jimmy Butler was so tired from his 40-point triple-double, and they wore him down through the cumulative effect of defense and the size and the physicality of the game, that at the end of the game, it seemed like Miami had no other offensive option but Tyler Hero. And Tyler Hero is a talented young player at 20 years old, but the moment was too big for him. You felt like them not having Goran Dragic on the floor really hurt them down the stretch. And you got to give AD and LeBron credit. Look, AD makes that big three. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Rajon Rondo make layups down the stretch. And it was ultimately the veteran team that knew how to win in big moments that propelled them to victory in game four.
Goes back to game three. Game three, those same veterans that Jay Will just mentioned didn't play well, but they did down the stretch in this particular game. And then AD, much like I said earlier in the first hour, is the fact that they were running big bodies at Jimmy Butler from the beginning. AD, then LeBron switching off on him. It's one of those deals where you look at it, you're looking at and saying to yourself, I didn't have this in game three if I'm Jimmy Butler. I was able to dominate because I didn't have these big dudes. Now, all of a sudden, you got these big guys, and he can't do the things that he wants to do. It's like, I got to now rely on others, and it wasn't working.
Yeah, but Key, I don't know why Jimmy Butler, and we're showing it on the screen. I know people can't see it in the cars, but Jimmy Butler didn't take these 10, 11-foot jumpers around the paint. I don't know if that's because AD, the size, contests late.
I was going to say the 10, 11-foot jumpers, when he got there, you had trees standing there.
Yeah, but still, you can hit a tree with a hesitation. You can pull up. You can throw them off their game. They're trees for a reason, right? They dominate the paint, but they shouldn't be able to guard you. But I will say this.
But AD.
That's AD.
Yeah, AD is different.
AD defensively.
He got great feet. Defensively, he's a little bit different. It wasn't the same like a Dwight Howard.
Agreed. I'm just saying the Miami Heat, when they look at the tape, when they realize how many open threes that they had naked, they were wide open threes that they didn't knock down, where then the Lakers came down and made contested threes, you're going to look at that and you're going to say, we just didn't make shots. They were 11-4, 38 last night from the three-point line.
It's too late.
That game was won in the mud by the Lakers. You had – people are going to say that wasn't a pretty three-point shooting game. It wasn't a barrage of dunks or the sexy plays. That game was won in the dirt. And the beautiful part about that for the Lakers is there is beauty winning those games in the mud, because you have to scrap and you have to claw and you have to win those nasty, gritty possessions that people don't like to see when they play basketball.
And you look at Anthony Davis in game three, he was killed, K-I-L-T, for the way he played. Not getting to the cup, not finishing strong.
15 points.
Not even the points, just the finish. In this particular game, he was trying to dunk on people. I mean, he was being
He still didn't
aggressive.
Get a lot of points in the paint. Neither did LeBron James. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't dominated. They barely scored close to half the points they scored throughout the regular season in the paint.
But Jay Will, when he was at the paint, though, it wasn't I'm going to lay it in. It was aggressive finishing. So that, to me, speaks volumes. When you, because that's the big complaint about him, is that when he's down there, he becomes, you know, I don't want to say soft, but not as aggressive as he should for his size.
But he didn't get his first free throw until the bottom of the third quarter. His first free throw. He didn't get his first points in the paint until the third quarter. So like that's what I'm saying. All these different things that you see, they won the game, and it was a very mucky fashion
in the way
they did it. It's a win, though. And you don't need every win to be pretty in NBA playoffs, right? Like, that's why LeBron said this is probably one of the biggest games of his career, because Miami is never going away. You never felt like Miami was out of the game until the final buzzer was over.
Yeah, and that dagger three by Anthony Davis. We mentioned earlier this morning, if you're just joining us, and I went to bed last night before it was over. Big story after the game, LeBron James confirming what Markieff Morris told NBA TV, that essentially after a mid-afternoon nap, he sent a text message, Jay, to the team essentially saying, this isn't technically a must-win, but this is a must-win. Get your intensity right. Understand the magnitude of the moment. Obviously, everybody stepped up. What do you make of that text and that move by the King?
It sets the tone. This is where it is today. This is where it is today. And I don't know if that tone wasn't set in game three. It probably was by LeBron, probably not with a text message, maybe before a game in the pregame huddle or things of that sort. But Miami had all the momentum coming into game four. Miami believed that they could beat the Los Angeles Lakers. They believed they had a scheme that could mitigate Anthony Davis' key. They could make him look somewhat fragile, settling for jump shots. Hey, KCP. Hey, Markieff Morris. Hey, Alex Caruso, Rajon Rondo, we're going to live with you guys taking threes, beat us. And look, the Lakers responded.
Much like Jay Will just said, though, Miami felt that they could beat the Lakers. But LeBron James felt that Miami could beat the Lakers too. That's why he didn't sleep well. And that's why he said, hey, man, I got to send this text message to get them to realize the pressure that is on me and us to finish the deal. Outside of that, he would have never even sent the text message if he felt that way. So clearly he felt like, I'm not trying to go 2-2. I don't want that heat. I'd rather be 3-1, so I got some cushion just in case.
And now they're sitting there at 3-1 with a chance for a closeout game Friday. And I have to say this because I know we're heavy, heavy deep into Laker talk, but I do want to pay incredible respect and give them so much love to the Seattle Storm for winning their fourth WNBA championship. Breonna Stewart, MVP, Sue Bird, incredible. Watching the way they play, it's just you're watching two teams between the Storm and the Lakers that are just doing incredible things in the game of basketball.
Shout out to the Storm. They're in Bradenton. They're in the WNBA bubble, which is affectionately known as the Wubble. And we should mention, that's what they're calling it. They're calling it the Wubble. Breonna Stewart, by the way, Jay, as you know, missed all of last season. She's a college legend at UConn, if you're unfamiliar with her.
Won 4 national championships at UConn, 4 MVPs
Think
at
about
UConn.
That. In 4 years, and she wins it after having an injury that kept her out all last season. And Sue Bird's going to turn 40 next week. And speaking of 40, love the number 4. She's been a part of all 4 Seattle championships. She's going to turn 40 next week. So congratulations. And I'm so glad you mentioned that because all the attention is on the NBA. But this year, there were more nationally televised games in the WNBA than in their history. And that's huge because more and more people are getting to know more and more about this great league.
And I know we're going to talk about the Lakers. Look, what the Lakers are doing is phenomenal. But Breonna Stewart said something last night when she was on the show on SportsCenter with SVP, where she just says, you know, I hope people get behind women basketball and I hope people get behind the WNBA. And I just want to tell you guys that I am behind it, watching it. Breonna Stewart's like watching Kevin Durant. And Sue Bird is like watching LeBron James to a degree with the way she impacts the game with her vision. It was incredible. Congratulations. They deserve it. Winning a world championship throughout a pandemic. All the things that all the women players stood for in the WNBA.
Sure.
It was a tremendous, tremendous thing to watch.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Still to come, the biggest story in college football the last couple of years has been the transfer portal. We'll speak to the head coach of a team whose quarterback, a transfer, has completely transformed a legendary program.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
One of the things sometimes I love about our show is the simplicity of the show, you know, right? Why be too complex? So we're going to do something called One's Gotta Go, which I think is pretty self-explanatory here, right? We don't have to waste any time on the setup, right? Keep the pace going is what they tell me. So here we go. We're going to run through some things, cross sports, NFL, a little New York, a little LA, and we're just going to basically give you some options, but one of these dudes or teams or programs gotta go. Simple as that. All right, fellas, let's start with MVP candidates in the NFL. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, had some very interesting comments you're going to hear from here in just a few minutes. Hang tight for that. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Wilson, Rodgers, Allen, Mahomes. But key, one's got to go.
Josh Allen's got to go. I mean, their team, he's playing well. The team is built around the defense. And he's doing what he's supposed to do, which is win games and get his team into the end zone by scoring touchdowns and kicking field goals. There's nothing wrong with him being amongst these three other guys. But in the end, Josh Allen's not going to be around when it comes to MVP conversation. I'm just being honest.
Before it's all said and done, I mean, before you break somebody down, you have to build them up. What Josh Allen is doing this year, incredible. Love that for the Bills. Love the fact that he's in the MVP conversation. But Aaron Rodgers, that boy hotter than cayenne spice. Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. I think he's the leader. My MVP. Patrick Mahomes is Mahomes. Josh Allen, you got to go. This is the only way you got to go.
So the guys agree. And by the way, those A-Rod comments, hang on. He is really letting his haters have it. That's
A-Ron.
The other A-Rod, right? You're Yankee. You're honed in with the Yankees right now. That other A-Rod.
Key's looking at me. Key's never seen the Key and Peele A-Ron thing. I'm going to put you on the Key. Don't worry.
I didn't understand what you were saying, but you're going to help me.
I got you.
So we got some four-win teams in the NFL. We talked about them, including Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. All right, from the three-win teams, right, not quite perfect, Rams, Colts, the Titans, who should be back on the field this Sunday, and the Browns. Yes, the three-win Browns, 3-1 Browns. Key, one's got to go.
I would say it's the Titans. And I know that Derrick Henry's running the ball, and I know Tannehill and the receivers are trying to get it done, and I know the defense of Jadeveon Clowney is trying to get it done. But I just think that when you look at it, the Browns are 3-1. They got some magic going there. The Colts are resurgence a little bit in Phillip Rivers' career, and I think the Rams and Jared Goff, they're just continuing to play the way that they know how to play. They're going to get back to playoff form. And when I look at the Titans, I just, out of these four teams, I just think they got to go. Not that they're a bad team. I just think the other three are going to go further than them.
I'll take it a different level. Key breaks down football. I'm not trying to catch COVID. Titans got to go. I'm not sure. I don't know what's going on right now. Until everybody tests positive all the time, you're the one that got to go for right now.
Incubation period.
Yes.
Stay safe.
Just saying.
Former number one overall picks. One's got to go. Oof. Baker Mayfield, his teammate Myles Garrett, Jared Goff, or old school, an oldie but a goodie, Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, he's not old school, right? He's still young, but it feels like Jadeveon Clowney has been around the block. This is his third team with the Titans. The Seattle Seahawks didn't necessarily dive all in with him after trading for him from Houston, giving up a third-round pick and more. I think it's Jadeveon for me because Baker Mayfield is going to settle in Cleveland and do exactly what he did against the Cowboys. Kind of pedestrian sort of numbers for a number one overall pick, but that is what Kevin Stefanski wants to do within their offense. I think Jared Goff, Sean McVay, that offense will stay stable and do some things. And then on the defensive end, Myles Garrett, the $100+ million defensive end, outside pass rusher, is there to stay in Cleveland and dominate that defense.
I would say Jadeveon Clowney too. One caveat though, the guy who let him go did just get fired as a GM and a head coach of his team. Just saying again.
That is fair. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. By the way, if you've got football on the mind, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to join us at 9:10.
I don't like this next Eastern. Question. I don't like this next question.
Low-hanging fruit, Jay. How about four's got to go? Knicks, Jets, Giants. How about that?
Typo, Knicks again.
Knicks again.
Yeah. Let's make it the Mets. Let's make it the Nets, right?
It's definitely not the Nets.
So let's go Knicks, Jets, Giants, Mets. Addendum on the fly here. Four's got to go. One's got to go. Tough choice.
I'm going to package it up in football. Football in New York, the Giants and the Jets.
Package.
Yeah, I'm just going to package both of them up. And right now, they both got to go.
I'm going to make it a trio. Just throw the Knicks in there as well. Just make it
but
all
see,
three.
The reason I didn't bother the Knicks is because hiring the people that they hired in Tibbs and in Fresh West and all them and Leon Rose, it just feels like that they might be headed in a better direction.
I've been feeling like they're going to be doing a lot of things for a long time, but it's never panned out.
But let me ask you this, though, Jay Will, being sort of a New Yorker, did they ever hire the right people? Hiring Phil Jackson was never the right person.
Look,
hiring Derek Fisher was never the right person. Right?
I feel like hiring Worldwide West is the key to life, right? You never know what I did there. But anyway.
I get it. Zubin not on it. Yeah,
Zubin not on it.
Yeah, Zubin not there yet.
Zubin, you know, the key to life. No?
Now, I know who Worldwide West is. I can give you, I can meet you halfway. One of the most influential people in basketball,
but that's
right?
Also lyrics in the song that's playing right now in the background.
No chance.
Anyway, moving forward.
No chance.
I just would say that, look, rumors last night, CP3 potentially to the Knicks, trying to make that work with OKC.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't mess with the Knicks because I think that it seems like that this is one of those situations where they're going to kind of start looking like a real organization.
Yeah, Tibbs is Tom Thibodeau, Leon Rose, their new general manager, and as the fellas mentioned, Fresh West or a Worldwide West, who's been a mover and shaker in basketball circles for a really long time. Very interesting selection. All right, Key.
Clippers.
Clippers next. Next one. Go to the next one.
Clippers.
It's not the Dodgers. Not the Lakers. Not the Rams.
It's the Clippers.
It's the Clippers right now.
I thought
they're hitting the side of the backboard on jump shots in the playoffs.
It's the Clippers. Yeah, it's not even. They don't even have a coach.
Okay, so we were going to go Dodgers, Rams, Lakers, Clippers, obviously. The latter is out. We were going to go from New York to L.A. I had it all set up. Never mind. Okay, last one. Top four college football teams.
Ooh.
Now, this is interesting because the latter is playing a lot better than people are realizing if you're a casual fan. Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, or the Gators.
I think Florida's great. Kyle Pitts, along with Kyle Trask, I think they're doing a great job with Dan Mullen. Obviously, Alabama's Alabama with Uncle Nick Saban. And then Clemson and Dabo Sweeney and Trevor Lawrence. Georgia is interesting to me because they haven't really settled in on a quarterback.
Right.
That's the big key for them. JT Daniels, a former USC Trojan who lost his job due to an ACL injury, transferred there this offseason, could be in the mix. And then they got this kid, Stetson Bennett, which is interesting to me.
Very southern name.
Yeah, just watching him play. I'm like, there's no way they're going to get through the SEC with him at quarterback. And he's doing a good job for him, but it's not what I'm used to seeing from UGA at the quarterback spot. That would be Georgia.
Yeah, I go Georgia out. Ohio State is coming. Just know that. Ohio State is coming.
On the weekend of the 23rd and the 24th, and the Big Ten returns. Still to come.
Small note. Jay Will's parents went to Ohio State.
The Ohio State.
Yes.
But he didn't go there.
Never got recruited. Shocking. Never got recruited to the Ohio State.
Turned out all right for you, as I do recall. Still to come. For those that think, not this year, but in years past, that Aaron Rodgers has dipped even one iota, A-Rod's got some smoke for you.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
A to Z brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Big story from the NBA, of course, the Lakers riding the ship. LeBron 28, 12, and 8. The Lakers are on the brink of their 17th title, which would, of course, tie them with the Boston Celtics, their arch rival, their nemesis for the most in NBA history. They can wrap it up Friday night, 9 Eastern on ABC. And, of course, no matter how long the NBA Finals go, you can hear every single second on ESPN Radio. From the NBA to the WNBA, the Seattle Storm sweep the Las Vegas Aces. Jay to win their fourth WNBA title. Breanna Stewart was your unanimous MVP.
Yeah, congrats to Stewie, who came off tearing her Achilles last year, and now actually two WNBA Finals MVP awards on this trip. Just incredible career for her thus far.
Teammate Sue Bird has been a part of all four Storm WNBA championships. And elsewhere out on the West Coast, Key, the Los Angeles Kings have selected Quinton Byfield with the number 2 overall pick in the NHL draft. Byfield, who is 18 years old and a native of Newmarket, Ontario, Canada, is the highest drafted black player in the history of the National Hockey League.
Man, leave me a little something there, Zubin. We're making history out in L.A., much like you said. He is the youngest at 18 years old and being selected as the number 2 overall pick. As a black player, the NHL is headed in the right direction. He's the highest black player to be selected since 2009. The fourth pick was overall by the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yep, they took Evander Kane, and the Predators took defenseman Seth Jones. And for those that don't know, Seth Jones, by the way, you know who Seth Jones' father is?
No, you're going to tell me.
Popeye Jones. You remember him?
Oh, yeah, Popeye Jones. That's
the
right.
The NBA player? Yeah. Some good genes there for Seth Jones. He was taken.
He's got to be big.
Yeah. He is a big physical player. His dad was a big physical bruising player as well.
Leave me a little on A to Z, though. Leave me a little bit of meat on the bone. Just don't chew it all
Zubin.
Up.
Something, Zubin.
I'm hogging it.
You took the second overall pick. You took where he's from. You took black. I mean, like, leave me a little something.
Sorry about that, but obviously he looks like he's a stud of the making, so we'll be learning a lot more about him.
And he's with my Kings, so of course.
Your Los Angeles Kings. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's talk a little NFL.
Stephon Gilmore tested positive for COVID. Okay. Just broke.
Perfect.
New England?
Yep.
We're going to have some breaking NFL news here with COVID-19 in just a moment, but welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're an NBA fan, tongue planted firmly in cheek, Miami Heat insider Rick Ross. Yes, that Rick Ross will join us coming up in about 21 minutes. Once again, we're working on some breaking NFL news. We'll have that for you here in just 1 second.
That's early in Miami time, just letting you know right now.
Well, he's getting up for us.
He's just coming in.
He might be just getting in.
Yeah, he's just coming in. Man, come on now.
That's why I said it's early.
No, he's just coming in.
Early, whatever you want to call it.
He hasn't even laid down yet.
The last thing he's going to do before going to bed talking to us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well,
we appreciate that, too.
So don't take the 20-minute power nap here, Rick Ross, because you're up in 20 minutes. So hang tight with us. Make sure you're with us. Aaron Rodgers, there has been a school of thought, as crazy as it sounds, considering how well he has played this year, that maybe he was coming off a couple down seasons. He wasn't quite in sync with Mike McCarthy. And in his first year with new head coach Matt LaFleur, they really weren't in sync with each other at all. And then they went 13-3 and almost made the Super Bowl. He was on Pat McAfee's show on YouTube. Pat's our colleague here at ESPN. You can see him on College Game Day, the former NFL punter. His show on YouTube had Rodgers as a guest. Listen to what Pat asked, and then A-Rod tees off.
The whole conversation was like, he's bagged up, he's this. Did you hear that stuff? I would assume you did. You have to in the world that we're in, that you see it every single day. And do you think being a second year in your offense that you're currently in with LaFleur is a massive advantage to maybe what was happening last year?
I mean, I don't know. Every team is different. Every year is different. And, you know, circumstances in any year which allow you to have more success or make it more difficult for success just kind of depends on the situation. It does help being in the second year, for sure. I feel a lot more comfortable. But, you know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks.
That's what I'm talking about.
Love
drop
that.
The mic and
love that.
Go ahead. Drop the mic and keep it moving. I mean, he's saying the right thing. I mean, it's true. when you look at it, I and people were making fun of me and laughing and telling me I didn't know what I was talking about. But it's true. The dude has balled out. He's been balling, period. This year, last year. Yes, there was a down year with Mike McCarthy. That's expected, right? You can't stay on top every single year. Sometimes you're going to take a dip. But when you look at him, you can tell he's comfortable in this offense. It's his second year. Regardless who the receivers are, his play has stepped up and not stepped down. And people say only reason why is because of Jordan Love. He was never worried about Jordan Love. This was a different situation than Brett Favre. When they drafted Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre was toying around with them consistently. One foot in, one foot out. I don't know if I want to play. I'm going to retire. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to spend some time, think about it in the offseason. All that playing around with him made them say, you know what, we got to start to look for the future. Aaron Rodgers was not doing that, but when people set the narrative, or try to set the narrative better yet, others will run with it and make it seem as though Aaron Rodgers led a team to 13-3, 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, almost going to the Super Bowl, was just like he fell out of bed and it just happened to him.
Zubin, I think I heard you correctly this morning. I was in a little bit of a daze after getting like 3.5-4 hours sleep, but I think you were saying sometimes the media gets a narrative in their head and they start running with it because they want to see it happen.
Yes.
And Key, that's exactly what you were talking about, right? Then that becomes a vacuum because you need something to talk about. And it's always good to kind of create drama around a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. And the fact that him say that last night, Key, you've been saying that for the whole time we've been on the show. I mean, it just comes back to that 5-letter word that we talk about. Just relax. Mm-hmm. Just relax.
In one of the things that I've always said in terms of the media, and you said it, and I meant to say it to you this morning, is that I've always said, I don't mind the media criticizing whatever, but set it to what it is and not what you want it to be. Hmm. If that's factual, fine, no problem. But don't try to create something and set this narrative to make it seem like I ain't playing worth the snot. Like, come on, man, seriously.
The bar is the bar, and for him, the bar has been super high. Still to come, we know what the worst division in football is. We're sitting in the midst of it here in the tri-state area. But what division is the absolute best?